Hello and welcome. My name is Zach Weaver, and I'm the senior pastor at Liberty Vineyard Church. I'm so glad you tuned in to the sermon today. I hope that it blesses, encourages, and challenges you as you begin to explore the abundant life God has for you. If you're in the area, consider joining us for our weekly services, Sunday mornings at 10:30. We have lunch together, free of charge, each week following our service. Everyone is welcome. We're located in the city of Tucker, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta. Directions and other information are available on our website at libertyvineyardchurch.com.
As we get into the sermon and all of this time today, why don't we just take a moment and let's kind of open up in a word of prayer and just kind of center ourselves on what God's doing now as well. So, Lord, as we started off this morning with announcements and things to be excited about and things that are going forward, and as we worshiped and you fill our hearts with joy and you bring us together, and with one voice we just want to cry out to you, great are you, Lord. Lord, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Let it be, God. Well, I just pray in our hearts and in our lives and in the lives of the people that surround us. And as we come together now and as we come together tonight, Lord, may there just be one chorus of voices singing your praises, singing your glory. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you do in our hearts and our lives and our families and our country and nation. And we cry out, Lord, to you for those that are hurting, for those that are in places of difficulty. Lord, we just cry out to you and we ask that you would just meet us in those places of need. Would you be there with us, be among us this morning, God? And it's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Last week was a difficult week. It was a hard week to pray, and a hard week just for our nation and for our hearts and for our countries. And a lot of that is continued. And I want us to continue, keep praying, be diligent, don't give up, don't tire, don't rest. There's work to be done. And we may not see the changes immediately. I know I ended with that last week. I kind of want to start with it today. We may not see the changes right away, and that's okay. God doesn't ask us and says, pray, and if you don't see anything happen, then just give up. All I ever see in his word is pray and then keep praying. And that's what we want to do. That's what we're called to do. And so last week, the overarching message was really about living life according to the Spirit, right? We talked about not being ashamed to fly high the banner of Jesus' name, and that looked different for different people as how we do it, but that ultimately we are not ashamed of the message of the gospel, of the glory of Jesus, of the sacrifice he made for us, and we want to share that with others. In whatever way God gives us, we want to be responsible to carry the burden of that message out to the greater world. And in order to do this, we have to be led by the Spirit. We have to be led by the Spirit in our actions, in our words, in our thoughts, and in our prayers. And if we do that, if we're led that way, the result is going to be radical love for the people, the world around us, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and radical love for God. That if we will be led by the Spirit leads us into this place of love, love that we don't understand and that we can't quite comprehend. That moment in the book of Acts, that moment in the first century Jerusalem, what was an incredible time of really amazing transformation. And it's transformation that echoed around the known world. What happened there began as kind of like a ripple, you know, a drop of a stone in a pond that then you see the ripples ever increasing, growing and growing. And those ripples have increased. I mean, we are part of that ripple still today. We still feel I don't even want to say it's the echoes. It's the living recurrence of that action of the Holy Spirit in that moment in our lives right now. Right? We experience that every time we're overwhelmed with love for someone. Every time we're able to worship in a way that transcends how we feel. You know, when we're feeling upset and yet we're able to worship and give glory to God, that's a work of the Spirit. That's beyond ourselves. Every time that we're able to do something for someone else, even when we're not quite feeling like it or we don't feel like we have enough to give, that's a work of the Spirit. And see, the Holy Spirit was just changing people's lives. And through those changes, he was affecting the world around them. And like I said, that is still happening today, and it still needs to be happening today. Do we ever need that kind of change and transformation in our life right now, in our world right now, this moment in history? Right? We need to see some of that transformative power of the Spirit. It's not going to be by the strength of our character. It's not going to be by the wisdom that we possess. It's not going to be by anything that we are able to do. It's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit that the world is transformed. And it's going to be through you and me and all of us all together around the world as the body of Christ, as the church, coming together, lifting high the name of Jesus. And we just see radical transformation in it. The Holy Spirit is really an active participant in our lives, right? Sometimes it's easy to imagine him, to imagine the person of the Holy Spirit as more ethereal. I mean, some of the wording we use as far as it's the Spirit of God and the wind blows where it will, it gives us this sense that the Holy Spirit is this ethereal, this kind of esoteric being that's just, you know, inhabits and surrounds in places in our lives. And while the Holy Spirit isn't limited by, you know, our temporal, our earthly realms, the reality is the Holy Spirit is living and active, constantly alert to what's going on and constantly alerting us to what God is doing in the world around us and in us as a people. And he's constantly moving and working that way. He's not just this ephemeral thing floating around that we're saying, oh, I think I got a glimpse of the Holy Spirit. He's working in you right now. He's working in us, connecting us as a body right now. Tonight, he's going to be working in us, connecting us as a people of God, coming together to praise his name in a city that's hurting right now. God is living and active, and he's working through the Holy Spirit in our lives right now. You know, Jesus said in John 15 that my Father is always working until now, and so I am working. You know, and we have to assume that since Jesus called us and commissioned us as people of God to be the workers, to remember that Jesus tells the disciples, look, I see the fields and they're white. They're ready for harvest. Pray that God would send workers. And then he commissions them. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Do these things. He gives them a job. He gives them a goal. And I have to assume that if he commissioned and called us to be the workers, that this same relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is available and is active in us as well. I know when I was teaching us through the book of John, and we came to the chapter in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying what's called in my Bible and probably yours, the high priestly prayer. There's a great little quote. I want you to hear it. It's in John 17, chapter 20, chapter 17, verse 20. It says, I don't ask for these only, but for those who are going to believe through their word, that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I'm in you, that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory that you've given me, I gave to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. You just hear that kind of connection. It's not just Jesus and the Father are connected. It's Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit have now connected through us. We're part of that unity. We're part of that now, part of that connection. And so we, just like Jesus, have to learn to be led. Not that Jesus had to learn. We have to learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so I want us to do a little bit of imagining, a little analogy for a second. Let's imagine the Holy Spirit. Let's imagine it as him as a guide in kind of an unknown land. You know, if you go to visit a country, you know, we went over a decade ago. We took a family trip before we had kids to Europe. We went to visit all of these different countries. And, you know, we're walking through the country and we're kind of seeing some things and experiencing and getting to do lots of different stuff, you know, but a lot of it was just, I hope we can find this. Where is this? And we spent so much time walking in there. Good memories. Don't get me wrong. But so much of it, a lot of times, is just kind of happenstance that you just kind of happen on something. You're like, oh, there's this. How much easier would it be if you had a guide that was walking you through, right? And I want to kind of go through what a guide does in these kind of situations. You know, if you're on a safari or if you're whatever place you can imagine where you'd like to have a guide. One of the main jobs is the guide alerts you to danger, right? The guide knows where are the safe spots and where are not the safe spots. But more than that, the guide's not just there to keep you safe. The guide's there to alert you to things that you need to notice. He says, if you look over there, you're going to see this. And if you look over there, that's going to be there. And it's probably things you might walk by. You might not even notice if somebody wasn't calling your attention to it and saying, hey, right over there, if you notice, that's where this is going to happen. The guide also, he really knows the right place to be at the right time, doesn't he? The guide knows to time it so that if we're here just at this time, you know, if you're in a place where there's a certain event that happens at a certain time, the guide knows how to time that. They don't just go, well, if we'd have been here an hour before, you'd have really seen something. It's too bad we missed that. That's the guide's job, is to make sure we don't miss it. Not only all of those things, but the guide is available. Always available for questions that you might have. And in fact, loves to answer questions. That's been my experience with guides. They're not frustrated by questions. They want to answer your questions. Why? That's why they're there, right? They're excited about the place that they live and they want to share it with you, right? That's the thing. The guide is filled with this spirit of adventure and exploration and they're fueled by this desire to just share and show everything that's in that land, everything that it has to offer. And I think the thing that we have to remember that as believers in Christ, you know, John teaches us in Corinthians that in the letter to the Corinthians that we are a new creation when we're in Christ. And when that happens, we now don't quite inhabit the world the same way we used to. We now have this kind of transcendent, we're a foot on earth, but also living within the spiritual realm as well. And that means the world we inhabit is a bit strange sometimes, and it's a bit unfamiliar sometimes, and it's a bit confusing sometimes. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us, right? We need him to help us navigate through this spiritual and temporal plane. But the Holy Spirit does more than just guide us. And he does more than just alert us. He wants us to participate in what's happening. See, he wants us frail and fragile and fearful and insecure and uncertain and weak and tired little us to be actively involved in what he's doing, right? A good guide doesn't just point things out. He wants you to experience it for yourself. He wants you to get out and be part of it, not just sit on the bus and look. Let's get out and go experience this for ourselves. In order for us to experience the kingdom of God, which is the Holy Spirit's realm, in order for us to experience that, in order for us to be involved in the workings of the Spirit, we have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Right? He has to empower us. And that empowerment is both permanent and situational. I want you to understand what I mean by that. We are always empowered by the Spirit to connect with God in prayer, in worship, and in personal growth. Right? It is only through Jesus that we have this connection through the person of the Holy Spirit with God that we are able to communicate with Him that way in prayer and worship. Right? That's always happening, always until now. And when's now? Always. But we are situationally empowered by the Holy Spirit to connect with others. We can't connect with everyone all the time. It's situational. When you see these things in the book of Acts, what do you notice? They're situational. They're not all the time. Why? Because the guide knows the right timing. The guide knows just to tell you where to look. Look over there. You'll notice. You should go this way. You might see this. Take a second and just listen to what's around you. Go over and talk to that person. Isn't that what you see in the book of Acts? That's what I see, is this people experiencing situational empowerment by the Holy Spirit to interact with the world, to connect with the people. You see, the power of the Holy Spirit at its core is all about connection. Right? It's connection for us with God and the connection for us with other people so that they can connect with God. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit does. Does that look different every time? Yeah, absolutely. It looks different in all kinds of situations, but at its core, that's at the heart of what the Holy Spirit is doing, is connecting us as a people of God and connecting us to God Himself. Today, what I want to look at is what the Holy Spirit specifically empowers us to do in order to connect. And we're going to do it by looking closer at those individual events in the book of Acts, in the first few chapters. I don't normally like to go through and list all of the different things and jump back and forth through different parts. I like to kind of stick in one place, but I want us to see this as a broad scope of what the Holy Spirit's doing. And I want us to get the picture that all this stuff is happening in a very small time frame. You know, we look at the book of Acts and it's hard for us to imagine sometimes that these things are happening within years, right? Not within centuries. This is the book of Acts in the New Testament isn't like over the next 1,000 years. It's happening now for them. It's happening right then. And so I want us to get this picture of all of the events. And this isn't going to be an exhaustive source. So please don't look at this and go, that's all that happened. It's just to get us started. The first thing I want you to see that the Holy Spirit empowers is right at the beginning of the book of Acts. In chapter 1 in the book of Acts, you know, you might remember that at the end of John, Jesus comes back to the disciples after he's risen, and he breathes on them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. So now they've got the Holy Spirit. And one of the very first things that happens in the book of Acts through the Holy Spirit is the empowerment of discernment. One of the first things they do in chapter 1 is they choose a replacement for Judas. And they choose this person, Matthias. And it's in chapter 1, verse 21. You don't have to go there. But that's where this takes place. And it happens again in chapter 6 when they have to choose 7 people to serve. Well, this spirit of discernment is the ability to just decide between different things and difficult things often when each one seems like a good option. Right? Why is this a spiritual gifting? Why is this an empowerment of the spirit? Because in our human mind, they're all good. I guarantee the 2 people here that are Barsabbas and Matthias, that they're both good choices. The disciples did not select these 2 people because one they already knew and the other one was terrible. These are both good people. How are you going to decide? They weren't. The Holy Spirit is going to decide, and that's what they do. And says they prayed, Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show which one of these you have chosen. That's this power of discernment right there, and that's the Spirit empowering them. Right after that, after the Holy Spirit comes in chapter 2, is probably the most famous spiritual empowerment in here, which is that ability, the speaking in tongues and the preaching and the evangelizing. But it doesn't just happen in chapter 2, verse 14 with Peter. It happens again with Peter in chapter 3 after he heals the man at the temple. And it happens pretty much the rest of the New Testament in the stories of Paul. All the time, preaching and evangelizing. Right? To preach and evangelize, the Holy Spirit empowers you to be able to clearly and succinctly share the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what evangelizing is. It's not beating people over the head and all of this stuff. Evangelizing is simply succinctly, clearly being able to share with others, this is who Jesus is, this is what he did for you, this is the good news. To do that, you need to have this next spiritual empowerment as well, which the Holy Spirit seems to just give whenever this is around. That's the thing about these spiritual empowerments is that they're often not singular. They're often overlapping. In order for this one, we need this one. So the third one is boldness. We see that in Acts a lot. In chapter 4, verse 13, you'll see that Peter and John, they're before the council. And the council says in verse 13, it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, right? They let them go and the believers, Peter and John, go back to the rest of the believers and they come back and the very first thing they pray for in chapter 29, they pray for boldness. It says, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your words with all boldness. And it says, when they'd prayed, the place that they were gathered was shaken, and they all, filled with the Holy Spirit, continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Spiritual empowerment, that is, boldly to proclaim the name of Christ. Right? It's needed to be able to evangelize effectively. And it's just a confidence, not in yourself, not at all, but a confidence in the message and the one that sent it. Another thing that we see along with this a lot is an empowerment of bravery. Again, Peter and John standing before the council, these men had the power to arrest them, to sentence them to death, to hold them in prison. And what are they doing? With boldness, they stand and proclaim right. And they stand up and say, is it right for us to have to obey you or should we obey God? That's not only bold, that's gutsy, that's brave. Right? Aren't these the same men? Isn't this the same Peter that was ashamed just a few, you know, books back, a few chapters? Isn't this the same Peter that when somebody said, aren't you one of him? Aren't you one of his disciples? He said, no, that's not me. You're thinking of somebody else. Is this really the same Peter standing up and now before the council, boldly, bravely, in front of thousands of people outside and now there, admitting that he's a follower of Christ? You bet. How did that happen? It's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. right? Have to be being willing. This is spiritual empowerment, being willing to fly that flag of Christ, willing to be bold, even when it's unpopular, even when it's dangerous. That's bravery. That's bravery. Throughout the book of Acts, one of the things that we see the believers doing through the power of the Holy Spirit is healing. Now, we see it at the beginning of chapter 3. It initiates that whole interaction. And we see it again and again, too many times to mention that it happens through the book of Acts and it continues to happen. But the healing power of the Holy Spirit, right? This is obviously something that humans can't do on their own. This is not something we can just by words make somebody better. I mean, there are places later on where we see Peter praying for somebody and they're raised from the dead. That's not by our own will. By our own strength. It's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And in a broader scope of that is this whole idea, and I have this as a separate one on my list, of signs and wonders, right? It just mentions that because there's so many of them happening. They can't list all of them. So listen to this in chapter 2, verse 43. It says, awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And then again in chapter 5, verse 12, now many signs were regularly done among the people. And then in chapter 6, verse 8, it says, Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Why are they just using general terms? Because there's so many of them, they don't just list them all. Right? This is the Bible's way of just saying signs and wonders, etc. And it kept going. And they're just doing so many things, I can't even write them all down. Remember what John says? If we were to record all the things that Jesus did, you know, I don't imagine you could contain them in all the books in the world. It's the same thing. So many of them, the Holy Spirit's working such wonders and signs, they can't hold on to all of it. Let's keep going. One of the things the Holy Spirit empowers the people to do, to be able to boldly proclaim the name of Jesus, to be able to preach and evangelize and to go and do these signs and wonders, is he gives them freedom of movement. This is a pretty neat one. In chapter 5, verse 17, do you remember the apostles are arrested again for boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus when they had been told not to? So they go out and they're doing it again. And this time they're hauled in before the Pharisees, but they're not playing around this time. They put them in prison. Listen to this in chapter 5, verse 19. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to all the people. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically what happens is the next morning, the priests tell the guards, go and get them out of prison. The guards find the doors locked. Everything's not been disturbed at all, but they're not there. They're out in the middle of the temple preaching. Later, there's that part, you remember, where Philip is out and the Spirit just carries him to this place. And he says, go walk along this road. And he finds the Ethiopian eunuch. And you remember then after he baptizes him, it says the Spirit carries him away. This freedom of movement, not to be stuck in one place, but to be able to move. Why? Because the guide says, hey, if you go down that road over there, you're going to see just what you need to see. I know you're stuck in this one place. Have you ever been there? I mean, I know I'm talking now a little bit in an anecdotal sort of way, but I mean, have you ever been in that place where you just feel stuck? In this, I mean, that's what the disciples were. They were stuck in this place. And the Holy Spirit says, I know you feel stuck right here in this jail cell, but I need you over here. So let's get you unstuck and go and proclaim. Why? So we can connect. So you can tell people about Jesus so that they can connect to God. God's working in us, through us, to change the world. One little thing at a time, sometimes one big thing at a time. Well, another way that the Holy Spirit works in this book, and I want you to remember all of these things are just within a few chapters and just within a few little time periods of each other here. These are not vast times. Another one is unity. In chapter 4, verse 32, it says the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Unity, I want us to understand, is not the same as agreement. Doesn't mean that everybody agreed. Were there ever arguments among the disciples and the apostles and the believers? Yeah, there were disagreements. Sure. But does that mean that they weren't unified in heart and soul, that Jesus is the way? Right. That's the difference. Unity means it does not mean we all agree. You're never going to find anybody that can do that. That can't happen. That's not going to happen. But it means that as a whole, what we may disagree on is how we're going to do it. But the message that we want to proclaim, to lift high the name of God, to be able to worship and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue confesses, that message stays the same. That we're unified in one heart and soul with a heart for people, a heart for God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Along with this, came another spiritual empowerment, and that was one of generosity. It says in that same verse that they were unified with one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things belonged to him or them or their own, but instead they had everything in common. There was no needy person among them. People were selling property and distributing it as each had any need. Boy, that's a spiritual empowerment, isn't it? Basically, just recognizing that all we have is a gift from God. How can we use others to bless? How can we bless others with what we have been blessed with? And it's not always a monetary thing. What has God blessed you with? What is overwhelming in your life? How can you, in abundance, share with those in need? At the same time as all this is happening, we see one of the most terrifying things that the Holy Spirit can do, and that is this idea of revelation. You know, we see Ananias and Sapphira come before and try to trick basically the Holy Spirit and they try to trick the apostles to make themselves look better than they are. And they go before them and try to pretend that they sold all of their field too and gave all the proceeds. And the Holy Spirit just gives Peter insight, revelation into this, and he calls them out, and they die right there. And it says that fear came upon the whole church and everyone who heard about those things. Yeah, absolutely. So we come now to probably the hardest two. That the two that I think most times fight with ourselves and our own physical person, our own physical mind the most. The first one is forgiveness. You remember Peter asked Jesus one time how many times we should forgive? And says 70 times 7. And I told you last week, you know, don't get hung up on the number. It's just a way of saying, as long as it takes. I mean, Jesus, when he died on the cross, you remember he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. In the book of Acts, there's a just horrifying moment when Stephen, who's been, we said it, full of grace and power, doing great wonders and signs among the people, is hauled in and falsely accused before the council. And again, an example where God is doing all of these, the Holy Spirit is gifting in so many different ways, stands in front of them, and instead of trying to defend himself and saying, no, they're not telling the truth, he sees it as an opportunity. And it's an opportunity to get to tell people. And he gives one of the most concise. Do you remember how I talked about preaching and evangelizing is the clear and succinct share the good news? If you get a chance, read chapter 7 of the book of Acts. It is one of the most concise histories of the movement of God in the world that you can find. I don't think you could make it more concise than that. It is a beautiful exaltation of God's work. And what's the result? And it's bold and it's brave. Remember, bravery is when it's unpopular and dangerous. And it says, when they heard them, these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him, and they haul him out of the city, and they stone him. And in verse 60, it says, falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's something we don't have a capacity for as human beings. That wars against everything within us. Lord, don't hold this against him. How easy would it have been to have been crying out and screaming angrily at them? But instead, it's his last words. And that's his last words that he speaks. That's a power and a love that I don't understand. But the Holy Spirit does. Because it's the same that coursed through Jesus in everything he did. And another, along with that, the final one, which is love for your neighbor. Love for your neighbor. That was the foundation of so much of what Jesus did, of how Jesus operated. When asked what were the two most important commandments, what did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Connect to God. And love your neighbor as yourself. Connect with people. In chapter 10 of the book of Acts, Peter has a vision about these animals coming down on a sheet, and they're all animals that he's not supposed to eat. They're unclean animals, and God has a really clear message for him. He says, go and eat, and he says, never, Lord, I would never do that, would never associate with that. And God says, the Holy Spirit says, what I have said is clean, let nobody say is unclean. And this is a huge moment because it initiates the ministry to the Gentiles. It initiates the ministry to the people who were at odds, who were enemies to them. They had nothing in common. Jews did not associate with Gentiles. This was not okay. And now here's God saying, go. Not just to the people that you understand, not just to the people that make sense, not to the people you get along with and have lots of stuff in common. Go to the world. Go out there. Go out there and interact with the people who have never heard the message of Jesus, who you don't have anything in common with, who your life experiences are completely different, who don't look like you, sound like you, talk like you, speak the same language as you. Go to them. Love for your neighbor is just showing uncommon kindness and acceptance of those who are different and with whom you may not agree, regardless of any past wrongs, regardless of any past hurts. You think forgiveness had to be a little bit a part of that? Yeah, I think so. But these things, I mean, healing, preaching, signs and wonders, boldness, revelation, bravery, unity, generosity, freedom of movement around, discernment, forgiveness, loving your neighbor. Are these not the same qualities that we see in Jesus? Do these not remind you of how Jesus' ministry looked in those three brief years? Does this not seem to just capture exactly what was happening there? And these qualities, these empowerments, these are things that are beyond our own capacity. You remember, I mean, Peter even talks about it when he heals the lame beggar that's outside of the temple. It says there that when Peter addressed the people, he said, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this or stare at us like we in our own power or piety made him walk?" These things transcend our own ability. Right? And they're not, I want you to notice that these are not for one person all the time. But they were each as they were needed, situationally, as they were needed. You know, Paul would later talk about in 1 Corinthians, he would say that there's a variety of gifts, but they're all the same Spirit, and a variety of services, but they're all the same Lord, a variety of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Do you hear those words? Empowers them all. What is it? In everyone. Does that mean that they were constantly doing each of those things? No. One of my favorite Vineyard authors, a guy named Gary Best, gives a great analogy that where he talks about us with the Holy Spirit basically like wearing a tool belt. You put on the whole tool belt, so you got everything you need whenever you need it. But you don't use all the tools all the time. You use the tool you need when you need it. How do you know when you're going to need the right tool? How do you know which tool you're going to need? That's where the guide comes in, right? That's where the guide comes in and says, it's time. You need to preach. You need to be brave. You need to be bold. It's time to be generous. It's time to exercise forgiveness. It's time to have a word of knowledge. I'm telling you something about this person. It's time to pray for this person. Right? We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we are going to impact the world for Christ the way he is calling us to, we need the Holy Spirit because we got all these tools on our tool belt, but we don't know how to use them or when to use them. Why? Because in our own wisdom, in our own minds, we can't tell. We oftentimes don't know, but the more we use them, this is something else that Gary Best writes about, the more we use them, guess what happens? The more familiar we get with them. The more you use a tool, the better you get with that tool. Does it still mean that's your tool you use all the time? I hope not. I don't want you to come over my house and fix my tile with a hammer. But it means that we know when to use them. We get better at hearing the Spirit's promptings, hearing his voice, recognizing his voice and going, oh, I know what he's asking me to do. And we get braver to get out there and do it. You know, Paul goes on and he talks about that each of these different spiritual giftings is given the manifestation and it's for the common good. The good of all people. Why? Because these are supposed to connect us together as a body and given as a good to connect us with God and to connect other people with God. That gift, that list of spiritual gifts that you find throughout the New Testament in the book of Corinthians, in Romans, in Ephesians. I mean, let me just read quickly this. It says wisdom, there's knowledge and faith and healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, evangelism, pastors, administrators, teachers, service, exhortation, generosity, mercy. Does this not sound exactly like what the disciples, the apostles, the followers of Jesus were doing in these times in Acts? It absolutely does. Things that transcend what we can understand. Because we're operating in a world that is not completely familiar to us. We are strangers in a strange land. But that doesn't mean that we're supposed to be ignorant. We're supposed to be informed. We're supposed to be connected. We're supposed to be seeing and hearing in uncommon ways. We're supposed to be led in the ways that don't always lead us to the places that we want to go, but they're the places that God needs us to go. Our world needs us right now. Our world needs us to be bold, to be brave, to exercise forgiveness, to show mercy upon mercy. Our world needs us to pray. If ever there was a time for us to be guided by the Holy Spirit, it's now. And so I just want to encourage you, wherever you are, just, I'm going to pray for you and I want you to pray as well. I mean, what does God say? He says, how much more is the Father going to want to give good gifts to his children, to give the Holy Spirit? Does he say just because we pray it happens, boom, right then, that we're going to have that? No. It's not a you know, a gumball machine where you put the quarter in, you turn it, and you get a gumball. But it does mean we have a Father that loves us and knows us and cares about us and made you specific for the task that he's given you. So I want to pray for you, and then we're going to turn this over to Nancy. Nancy's going to lead us in our time of communion together. Boy, do we need that. Father God, it is beyond our capacity to operate and to move the way that you ask us to on our own. We cannot do it without you. We were never supposed to be able to do it without you. Come, Holy Spirit, in your power, in your love, in your mercy, in your grace, come and move among us. Blow in our hearts, purify our souls, guide us, Lord, just step by step, lead us where you want us to go. Lord, as we come together in prayer, as we come together in worship, may our hearts and souls be unified under that one message that you are good, that you love us. Father, bless each one that hears my voice today, Lord. May they know that there's a God in heaven who loves them sacrificially, uncommonly, that you love us and that you've called us and anointed us to be your hands and feet on the earth. Lead us and guide us according to your love and your goodwill. It is in Jesus' holy name I pray.